Great, we seem ready to start. This is PC 404, Microsoft Project Desktop Extensibility, building and selling apps for Project to millions of users. My name is Eli Sheldon. I'm a program manager on the project team at Microsoft. My co-presenter is sitting in the front row here, Dan McDonald of Sensei Project Solutions. He'll be showing some of their apps a little later on in the session. And of course, this is a somewhat dev-centric session. I'll be showing some code and talking it through. And you'll know that you're in the right room if this slide as PC 404 makes sense to you. That's kind of the bar for the session. My agenda for today, talking about apps for projects first. Start off with a simple overview of apps for Office, and that's kind of the new extensibility platform that we made with the 2013 release. I'll show that kind of high level, and then I'll talk about what's specific feature-wise to project, and that's really where the focus of this talk will be on the specific apps for project. Then I'll do two demos that'll take up most of the time. That'll be a quick 60-second app done right in Notepad, so with no specific tools or anything special required, not something super fancy, but just so you kind of get a sense of how simple they can be to create. And then I'll do a longer demo in Visual Studio that kind of shows you some of the project APIs, what it's like to actually build an app end-to-end with code running, and then exposed in project. Then I'll talk a little bit about the Office Store. You saw this in the keynote yesterday. But it's where you go as a customer to purchase these. It's where you'll go as a seller or a developer to sell your apps. It's kind of the new app store that we have specifically for Office and for SharePoint. And I'll talk about how customers can find and install your apps, how they're reviewed, how you can see metrics and statistics on them. And then, as I said, Dan will come up and show two of the apps that Sensei has done within the last year or so. They're really great apps. He'll walk you through both of them and talk about some of the tips and tricks he's gotten from developing them. We've had a kind of close partnership in working through this initial set of APIs and implementation of these apps. And if you have any questions, I'll take questions at the end. If you have anything urgent, I can probably take them in the middle, just throw up a hand or walk to the microphone, and I'll do my best to address them as we go. So starting off, apps for project, that's kind of why we're here. What is an app for project or an app for Office? Just to clarify, an app for project is just an app for Office that is used in project. So I'll be using them pretty synonymously throughout this presentation. But essentially, an app for Office is built of two components. You have an app manifest, which is a simple XML document that specifies things like which permissions you're going to need, what sites you're going to be hitting, which clients it runs in, whether it's Word or Excel or Project. And that's just that you can just whip up in Notepad, although Visual Studio has some nice tooling that you'll see in a bit to create it. And that lives either in the Office Store, and so that's either hosted in the cloud, and customers are purchasing it through our store, or you can give it directly to customers and they can host it in their own local app catalog for on stuff or anything where that doesn't want to go through the store. And you take that and that points to what any page on the internet, which could be something as it just loads Wikipedia, loads Bing, or more likely for a functional app, you'll build your own web page using HTML and JavaScript, and our Office APIs all live in JavaScript for this. And that's hosted, it could be in Azure, it could be anywhere on the internet. And you add those two things together, they kind of talk to one another, and then you load them up in an Office client, and that is your app for Office. So what do they look like? There's three different shapes that we call them. The first one is a content app, and this you would find in something like Excel. It's embedded right in the document, so it's essentially if you imagine a graph in Excel or a chart in Excel, but replaced with an app, it lives kind of right there. Same thing in Word. Maybe it shows a picture slideshow, but it is in line with the document. It lives with that document. But it is actually an app that is rendering a web page behind the scenes. The middle one is the one that we support in Project, is a task pane app. If you're familiar with Project Client, you know our task inspector that kind of interacts with the document. It's similar to that. They launch on the right side as opposed to the left side. But they interact with the document, but are not directly in line with it. So it's kind of, you can imagine it more as associated with the application than the document itself, but they do talk to one another. And the third shape is a contextual app. Right now this exists only for Outlook. But it's you can imagine this code basically looking for, maybe as you're writing an email or as you're reading an email, looking for patterns, looking for something like, oh, you mentioned scheduling a meeting. Let me pop up this app right in line with your mail to help you schedule that. Or let me look up who this person is. I think the one we ship out of the box is the People app. And so if you've ever seen little people pictures and kind of recent conversations you've had with them in Outlook, that this is a contextual app. But again, the one we support is the task pane. Three quick just to kind of get a sense of what they actually look like in the applications. Content app, you may have seen the demo of a map. So you have maybe a set of addresses sitting in a column in Excel. And this app, once loaded, would just show you them all on a quick map in Bing Maps, for instance. This is one in project, so you can see the kind of project grid on the left, and the app is loaded in the for instance, showing documents from SharePoint on the right. And then this third one is another map, but this one is in Outlook. So maybe if Outlook finds a address, they want to show it to you right in line with your mail. So those are the three types. There are no current plans to extend the content app or the contextual app to project. We kind of see our best experiences coming from a task pane. But PowerPoint and Excel and Word, I believe, all use content apps. Contextual apps are for Outlook, and Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Project all use the task pane app. Word and Excel use the content app, and their Excel WAC does as well. So that's kind of the high-level apps for Office. Drilling into what apps for Project and how we kind of differ or things we have in common with the other applications. As I said, task pane apps are the one shape we support. Apps today can read project data from the document and cannot write back to it. And so because we use kind of more formal data types than Word, where it's essentially just text, or Excel, where you have vaguely defined numbers and text fields, we don't allow you to write back from the task pane into the document. And so you can read all the data you want, either from the MPP file directly, from server, et cetera. But today, there's no way to write things back into that grid, which is feedback we've heard a lot of, things we're potentially investing in for the future. But today, it's essentially a read-only experience with the project plan itself. We can persist user-level settings and data through local storage. We can even roam that from computer to computer. And so if users pick some customizations or settings or you know, add a URL or something they need for your app, that's something that could be saved with them. We don't store these apps in the MPP file, which is slightly different from how the content apps work. So if I have that map, for instance, in Excel, and I save that with the document, and then I email that document to someone or save it to SharePoint, if someone else loads that Excel document with the map and they have a license for it, they'll when they open the document, they'll see that same map. If they don't, they'll be prompted to start a trial, download the license, or purchase the app. We don't do that. We are more tied with the project application. And so there's no association between the app and the MPP file, except when it's running. And so it's something that when you want to load the app, you kind of launch it from the ribbon. It doesn't launch when you start project. And so some examples, which I'll get into more in the future, of our APIs. We expose things like task level fields, resource level fields. We can tell you which user is in, whether they're in the sheet, like the resource sheet or the task sheet, and we expose some high-level project properties. Some of the example commands look like get task async, get task fields, and I'll demo a bunch of these in Visual Studio in a bit. The other thing that we support is event handlers, and so we can tell if someone changes which task they have selected or if they change from one view to another view, we'll fire an event that your app can respond to. And that can be really helpful for the user not having to click within the app so many times. This is a kind of scary looking chart that's actually part of a much larger chart that's available on MSDN. And I would recommend if you get into app development at all, which I highly hope you do, you go to MSDN and download this kind of full API chart. I'm not going to walk you through it too much. I mostly just wanted to let you know that it exists. But it essentially walks you through all the different APIs, tells you which clients they support, what the result structure looks like, and is, again, this is a subset of a much larger set for the full office.js API. So it's a great resource to have. It's right on dev.office.com if you're looking for it later. Talking through some scenarios, some of these we've seen partners do. Some of them we know are coming. Some of them we just proposed and think that they'd be great to have done. But kind of the two main buckets we see, the first one is servicing SharePoint and Project Online content directly in the client. And so if you're connected to Project Server or Project Online today from the client, obviously you get things like SRAs and some cross-project information. But we see a case where an app could connect directly to Project Online itself or to SharePoint and surface statistics about all your projects or info about other specific projects that you're linked to. Really kind of targeted approaches to helping someone plan their specific project that they have loaded in the client with info that the app is pulling from other projects. And that whether that's specific project data or we've seen some apps that pull SharePoint data, whether that's documents from the project site that let you just kind of quickly open a document associated with a task or with a project, or issues and risks. Basically, it's letting the user avoid having to flip back and forth between a browser, which is one experience, and the project client, which is a different experience, and kind of bringing it all into one view that can use context information to know which task or which resource you're looking at. Another option, but this would be more apps for Office, would be to bring Project Align data into the other applications. And so you can imagine a Word app or a PowerPoint app that pulls data right from Project Align and creates some beautiful reporting, some status report that you email out very quickly, just with a click of a button, using either the OData feed or the CSOM feeds, which if you've been to the server sessions, you may know about. But being able to just kind of quickly format and insert that kind of material directly into another Office document is something we'd love to see more of. The other kind of big bucket is extended client functionality. This would be kind of where you're not necessarily connected to Project Online or to SharePoint, but really you're working to extend what the client itself can do. Some things we've seen, and again, we'd love to see more of, would be sort of a cloud-hosted training module. And so knowing what view the user is in and knowing what they have selected and getting a sense of what their project looks like, you can imagine a kind of dynamic and always updated training documentation being able to help the user, sort of a getting started experience, or even for like a rich user who knows the product well, learning maybe more about their own schedule. The next one is what we've seen a lot from Sensei, but basically looking at your project, doing some kind of rigorous project management standards and suggesting how you might be able to improve your project using kind of great PM knowledge, but being able to really like look at the full schedule and essentially it would be a more rich task inspector, again, if you're familiar with that built-in feature. And then connecting other sites like social networking, maybe you have a resource selected and it pulls up their LinkedIn profile or their Yammer profile on the side, is something that could be pretty simple and pretty fun to play with. And there we hope that we come up with. I haven't thought of them all, and we are constantly surprised at what our partners are able to do. So the tools, as I mentioned before, you can do it, as I will show you, entirely in Notepad or any kind of fancy text editor that you like. All you need is that XML manifest file and a web page running somewhere. We have full support for CSS and JavaScript. You can certainly use REST or OData queries to pull data from a server, but you don't necessarily need anything fancy in order to make your first app. That said, with Visual Studio 2012 or 2013, you get a much richer experience. Out of the box, right with those, as box when you install Visual Studio, is a set of Office tools and templates, and this basically gets you going much quicker, as I'll demo in a minute. But you have kind of full debugging, full IntelliSense support and completion. You can poke through the API files themselves. And what's nice is that with those hooked into Visual Studio, you don't need to worry about configuring where you're saving these apps to. Essentially, you'll hit start and begin debugging in Visual Studio, and it'll pull up whatever application you specified, and it'll be working right away, which is a really nice way just to jump into the applications. So with that, I'm going to jump into the first demo once my computer comes back online. And this demo will be, again, just showing you very quickly how to pull up a website like Bing inside of Project using nothing but a sample from MSDN and Notepad. So fast. Flip over to this guy. So this is just a non-project specific, it's kind of the basic, here's how you make a quick app. This is on dev.office.com, which again just links to MSDN. But if I go ahead and copy the basic sample they have for their XML manifest, which just kind of gives me the structure. I'll talk through it very quickly once I bring it over to Notepad. And I'm copying it from here just to kind of save time and show you there is some obviously required schema to it. But what you'll see here, and I can make this a little bigger for folks in the back. So we pulled the schema down from the cloud. We're going to make a task pane app, which again is the one that Project supports. You have a unique ID here and a version number. You get some information about who the provider is, what languages you support, and if you have backup languages, those would be listed here also. We can go ahead and give this a name. Let's say we're going to load Bing, so we'll call it Bing app. Give it a description. And these are all things that I'll load in the client when someone goes to add your app. This helps them decide which one they're loading. Capabilities is what describes which products it'll work in. So document would mean that it can be added to a Word document. workbook is for Excel. And for project, we have project. So I'll make this a project app just that easily. And then the source location is the website that's going to load. For that MS Dan example, they were actually having you create a HTML page. For this, I'm just going to load Bing. And I'll load the mobile site, knowing that that'll render better in a kind of skinny pane. As you might imagine, it's more like the phone form factor. Permissions, we don't need to write into the document because we can't, but also because we're just loading Bing. So I'll go ahead and make that read document. And that really should be all there is to it. If I go ahead and save that to a folder, I'll go ahead and call that Bing 2. This folder is essentially a mapped network share. You can't pull apps in the client around without using Visual Studio, without having them saved to SharePoint or to a network share. So this is just a folder that's been local mapped to a network share, and then that was added to the list of app locations right within project. That's all described in detail in MSDN. So I saved that, just an XML file. I'll pull up project. This is just out of the box project 2013. Take one of the templates. And the way you insert apps is from the project tab on the ribbon. Go down to apps for office. That Bing app is the one I'd done while setting up. But if you go to the shared folder, this is pulling from all of the network shares that you've specified in the settings. If I refresh it, should be the one I didn't capitalize on. And then inserting it will launch the pane on the right side, which hopefully loads Bing. I'll go ahead and search for something like Seahawks, because still riding Sunday's high. So it's essentially just loading an IE page right in the browser, this one, or right in the client. This one doesn't interact with the document at all. It's pretty simple. But that is really all it takes to get up with your very first app. You can imagine having maybe a more relevant page. So next, I'll do the kind of more functional app. I will start in Visual Studio with the out-of-the-box app for office template and kind of scale it from there, adding some project-specific functionality to it, just so you can kind of see what the out-of-the-box experience is and how simple it is to take a generic app for office and add some project-specific things to it. So we'll go ahead and close out a project. Launch Visual Studio. This is Visual Studio 2013 with just the out-of-the-box apps for office tool pack installed. Make a new project. Down in the Visual C#, you find an Office and SharePoint node with apps for Office and apps for SharePoint. For this, I mean, the difference being apps for Office are the ones that live in the client. Apps for SharePoint are the ones you would find in SharePoint in the browser or in Project Online. I'll call this demo app. When you hit OK, it's going to ask you a few questions before it creates the project. It's going to ask you what shape you want, and this is content, task, pane, and they call contextual mail app here because today we only use it in Outlook. I'll go ahead and make this only a project app. And that what that's doing is updating the XML file in the background to where the capability section now would just say project, and I'll show you that in a minute. All this creates. So it's making the manifest project and the actual website project itself, which will both be part of the solution. So this loads up. I'm going to go ahead and run it right away just to show you what it does before I do anything. Since project is the only app I selected, it's going to launch project for me. If I'd left multiple ones checked, it's just a project level property that determines which app launches when you hit start. I'll open up the same template file. So I didn't have to configure anything beyond, I'm not using that network shared folder. I didn't have to set up telling it to talk to Visual Studio. It's going to go ahead and insert it right in that menu as a developer app. So any app that you're debugging in Visual Studio will show up right at the top of this list as a developer app. Go ahead and launch that. So this is what the out-of-the-box template app looks like. It's pretty basic. There's one actual rich call in it called get data from selection, and that will work here. That works in pretty much every Office app it can launch in. And it essentially just pulls the selected text. If I do it on one of the indicator fields, it'll give me the string interpretation of it, so that is an auto-schedule task. So that's pretty neat, and that would work in Word, that would work in Excel. That's not using any project-specific APIs, but that is using this office.js file that has all of the rich Office shared APIs in it. So I'll go ahead and close this and jump back into Visual Studio and kind of show you what this project actually is made up of. So as I said, there's the manifest project and the actual web project. If I open the manifest, I get this kind of fancy UI editor. This is exposing all the same properties we saw right in Notepad. You have your name, your version, provider, description, etc. So I'll go ahead and maybe rename this. Project conference app is my description. And if I save that, I can actually drill into the same text view of the XML file that we saw before. This should look very similar. This time, obviously, it's not pointing to Bing. It's pointing to a referenced HTML page that is later in the project. Everything else is very similar, hopefully. And then for the web file itself, basically lives around this HTML page. It pulls down the office.js file from the cloud. It's doing that so that's always updated. There will be a local copy, as you can see commented out here, saved in the same file if you're afraid about things changing or if you're worried about cloud performance. But generally, it's best to keep this hosted file as the JavaScript file that you're using. And then it has a couple different script files in it, a couple different CSS files. We don't need to really focus on the app ones. Those are kind of just broad app level. Here's how you make that little notification slider work. Here's how it's colored, essentially. The one that we'll edit is the home.javascript file. And then all of the content that you saw when it launched, there's a button, and there was a link to more info. Drilling into the script, the first call you'll notice is office.initialize. This is essentially what makes sure that the client is ready, the app has launched, it's ready to start interacting with the document. So every app that you have will have a call just like this. This is also where the button is defined, which we'll add to momentarily. And then the office call is get data from selection. You can see it has a structure of office, context, document, and then the actual call itself, and that reads text from the document. It determines whether it was successful using the async result status. If it is, it'll show you the selected text, and if for some reason it was not successful, it'll show you an error message. That's kind of the starting place. We're going to go ahead and add some project-specific APIs to it. The three that I'll add, we'll have a button that reads the task GUID, the ID of the task, and shows it just like where that selected text was. We'll go ahead and add a function that reads the resources that are assigned to that task, which is kind of reading a detailed task field. And then we'll try to add an event handler, which notices when you change tasks. And we'll update the ID live without having user having to click any button. Should I have a question? You can only read currently the task that you have selected from the client, but you could also pull things from server if you're connected to server. You could still read it, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good question. So the first thing I need to do, and I'm going to be poking back and forth between OneNote and Visual Studio just so I'm getting the code correct here. But all of the project-specific APIs live in a different JavaScript file hosted right along with the one that's there for Office. So the first thing I need to do is add a reference to this, which is just project 15. So that exposes all the project APIs that are not in the shared code. So again, there's a bunch of shared functions that work across all the applications, or most of them, in Office.js. But the ones that are specific to project, like the ones that deal with tasks and assignments and views, are all in the second file. And the other thing I need to do here is I'm going to add three buttons each to do the three things I just described. Just to be done with this HTML file. If I pop over here for those to save some time. So if I were to launch this now, it would be functionally the same, except it would be loading a different script file, and it would have four buttons, the later three of which would have no real function at the moment. And the next I need to do is to make, let's, so we'll start with the getting the selected task GUID. I'll jump into the back to the JavaScript file, which is where the rest of the work will happen. We need a variable that gives us where we store the GUID. And we need to give that button, that first button that we made, a function, which we can add right below the other one. And then I'll talk through this after I add it, but this is a very similar looking chunk of code to the one that's already in here that gives us our first project API. I'm going to see if I can get both on screen so you can kind of see how similar they are. So again, the one at the top of the screen right now is the office level get selected data, and the one at the bottom is the get selected task GUID. And as you can see, they're very similar. They're just different functions. But they both will show an error if it fails, and they'll show their result if it succeeds. If I go ahead and run this, I can show what that looks like. So you see the four buttons are there, only the first two are hooked up. The first one still just pulls the selected text, but now the second one will give us the task GUID. And this is the unique identifier for that task. Today, or right now, as I pick a different task, it won't update, but you can see the first set of characters changing slightly. So that is pulling data right from the project plane itself. This is not using a server connection or anything. And so the next thing we'll do, if I close out of this to end debugging, is add that second button, or that, I guess, the third button in that list, which will pull the assigned resources from whatever task we've pulled the GUID from. So I need to hook that button up. And another similar looking function, which I'll talk through again. This one's a little more complicated. It's not using the currently selected task to pull the resources, just so it's a little bit different than the one before it. It's using the GUID that we've stored in that global variable to remember which task we pulled the GUID for, and is going to use that to read the resources assigned to that specified task, which is why we make sure that variable is defined. And we use the getTaskAsync function here with passing in that GUID. And the result that we get back actually has all the task fields mapped to it. So we have all that data, again, regardless of whether it's in view. And we're going to use the resource names property to figure out who it's assigned to. If it's more than one resource, it'll show them all, I think, with a comma between them. And if we haven't pulled the GUID first, we'll throw the error just to be friendly to the user. So I'll go ahead and show this now in its current state. This template's nice because it has things that can see in the Gantt chart. So if I pull the GUID and then hit get resources, we should show that same resource that you see assigned in the Gantt chart there. And if I have one that's assigned to multiple, I pull the GUID. As you can see, they have a comma between them, and it shows you the units at which they're assigned if it's not the max units. So it's kind of the same field essentially you're seeing here in the Gantt chart. So those are the kind of two simple ones. The one slightly more complicated thing I would like to do is add an event handler for when the user changes which task they have selected. And the button itself will add that handler. It's something that actually needs to be added to the document while it's running. It's kind of not something that you set up. It's something that the user hits. In this case, the user will hit add this event handler. It'll tell us if it succeeded. And then from then on, it'll treat it like a live event, if that makes sense. Again, hook up that button. And this one is made of two functions, just so we can make sure we know when the event handler has been added successfully. Let's see if we can get these all on screen. So the function is adding the event handler. We specify whether we're adding or removing. The event handler is called task selection changed. And the function that it's going to call whenever it runs is getSelectedTaskGUID, which is the function that we made up above. So you can specify any function essentially that you want when that event is fired. When it's added, it calls this onComplete function, which just says we added it. If it doesn't work, we'll show a failure, very similar to all the other ones. And again, this should make it so that when I change which task I've selected, the notification shows which GUID for that task is. Go ahead and load the same template again. Add my app. Continue through that warning. So just to show it all working together, this is getting the selected text, which was the out-of-the-box function. This is pulling the GUID for the selected task. Oops. Getting resources, and then I'll hit add the event handler. It'll tell me it was added, and then when I start changing my selection just using arrow keys, it'll update that GUID as I go. And so you can imagine adding, kind of building on top of this into everything you want. We, again, have event handlers for when you're changing selection in addition to seeing when views are changed. So if you're doing something like a training app and you want to react to someone, or really any app, react to someone being in the task sheet versus the Gantt chart versus et cetera, that's kind of the way you'd react and know where they are in the client. And so changing the view as far as the client goes, changing your app, it all feels like it's kind of one experience. So that's the end of this demo as far as I wanted to show it. Where you would go from here if you wanted to publish it is similar to other Visual Studio project publishing. Are there any questions on this before I jump back to the deck? Yep. Yeah, custom fields, I believe, are exposed just as task fields or resource fields. They'd be in that same result set. I've never seen that done. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I my guess would be no, but it's possible. So we can look into that later for sure. Yep. We do not. Other questions? Yeah. Oh no. So again, an app can't control what the user is doing in the document itself. So it's really we're responding to events, but not able to write back to that data. Cool. So I'll talk a little bit about. I think we're at the store now. So you saw a little bit of this in the keynote yesterday. I'll go into some more details here. And there's another whole presentation on the store later today or tomorrow I'll point to at the end of this session. So quick overview of the Office Store. It is kind of like our new App Store. It is different from the Windows Phone Store, different from the Windows Store. There are two ways to get to it. One is in your browser, office.com/store, I believe, is the quickest shortcut there. But also, if you're in the client and you go to add an app, one of those tabs is pulling apps right from the store, whether you've purchased them or not. They're sort of the featured apps, recommended apps, right without having to launch your browser. All the apps are aggregated here along with templates, so it's kind of one experience that we see for anything you want to add to Office directly that's been vetted by Microsoft. In terms of selling and purchasing, we support trials of varying lengths. That's up to you. Free apps are fine. The set of licensing that we had at launch was per user, so every user that wants to use this costs this much money per group, and so you could say, well, if 20 users buy it, it's this cheaper price, or one price for like your whole company, being like, yeah, sure, you just have a company-wide license. And then more recently, we've added monthly subscriptions, so this is a per user per month cost. which is something that we'd heard a lot of feedback on and finally kind of got in there. Another nice thing is that we don't require you to use our licensing model, and so Microsoft's totally okay with you having the app be free in the store and sort of working in your own licensing or subscription model into that if you need more flexibility or you know you want to just kind of control the financing. That's totally smiled upon by us. And then what's nice about seeing your stuff through the store is that we kind of have all the updating license checks in there for you, so you don't have to worry a ton about adding your own licensing stuff. Users will be prompted when there's an update available right within their client when they go to launch the app. And again, their settings and their apps themselves roam. So if I install an app into Word or Project on one computer and go to another one and I'm logged in with the same account into Office, all my apps will be right there ready for me to add into the document. That's a good question. If you're hosting the file locally, if it's just a website on your computer, that would work totally offline. So if you have IIS or something running on the same box, then the computer could be offline and that would work. I don't think it'll block a round trip through. I can check that though. I'm not 100% sure. That's a good question. The other option for kind of selling and hosting these, which I think was also in the keynote briefly yesterday, is the corporate catalog or app catalog or Agave catalog, which was the code name for this feature and is still in the product. But this basically lets you as a developer or an ISV give your app file, your XML manifest, directly to a customer, or maybe if you're as you're developing it and debugging it, you don't want to go through the Microsoft validation process. This is just a SharePoint library. You add the manifest file here, and that basically allows you to sell or give away for free or test your app without having Microsoft vet it, without the process of, you know, app validation and working its way into the store. This is how companies would generally do their internal apps that they don't want to be public, but maybe they have an app for their whole company. They would install it here. And obviously, this does require a SharePoint tenant, either online or on-prem, without a SharePoint site of some sort, you could do the same thing with the network map folder the same way I did before that all of your clients point to. But this is kind of the friendlier way to do it if you have a SharePoint site to use. And that's kind of tenant-wide. And then this is also the place where for maps that are stored here or apps that are purchased through the store, you can control your permissions and licenses. They're kind of all aggregated together in this view. And you can check, you can look at things like usage, who's using it, how often it's used, et cetera. Quickly just go into like why we think apps are so cool for Office. We think that they can help the user with a better out-of-the-box experience. Generally, there is kind of a high bar to install classic add-ins and DBA. This is a much easier, you know, one or two clicks to install, especially for the free training apps. There's generally not any configuration needed. You shouldn't have to worry about the code not working because the ones that are in the store have all been tested thoroughly by Microsoft. And we like that there are no risk. There are a lot of things like where you can't write into the document or why you can't interact with certain views that seem kind of like they may be limitations, but really they're there to help protect the user. There's really, especially in the read apps, there's no way for it to damage your data or for it to corrupt the Office application itself. What we'd seen over the years was with a lot of add-ins installed to Outlook or to Word, it kind of started to slow down. Maybe they weren't as well vetted as they should have been by the ISVs. And so once you added a bunch of them, it just kind of bogged down Office. These should kind of feel much more lightweight. They can't really affect the performance of the client itself. They're kind of more sandboxed, which is kind of the direction we were going for, similar with the SharePoint apps. Very flexible licensing and deployment. I mentioned all those different licensing options. We kind of see apps as more lightweight experiences than a full kind of blown solution would be. This applies more to the SharePoint apps than to the client apps. But it's a great way for you to get your name out there. If you just put a free app in the store, people like it, that people maybe come to you for other solutions and maybe more full-blown things. But we hope to see some new partners in the space, get a lot of new ideas, things that maybe eventually work back into the product. We can feature apps in that menu if we see something that we really like. And we think hopefully it's a more flexible and kind of easier to get going model than traditional Office add-ins. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dan to show off the two apps that Sensei has done so far. And then I'll be back for questions at the end.
Thanks, Eli. Yep. Hi, I'm Dan McDonald from Sensei Project Solutions. I may have met a few of you yesterday and throughout the conference. I want to show a couple of, Eli mentioned a couple of usage examples for apps for Office. I want to show a couple that we have developed. The first one is the Sensei Task Analyzer. And this is a app for Office that's going to work just with your data within your Microsoft project plan. So what we do is we've implemented a number of industry standard checks. So as you go through your project plan, you're going to get messages about the tasks and whether they're compliant with these checks. So as you go down, you'll see that the first couple of them are totally compliant. And then we'll see that we get an issue here. So when I'm showing my demo, I'm going to also talk a little bit about the technology behind some of these and we'll use it. So when we're doing the industry standard checks, we're doing about, I guess we're reading about 20 or 30 pass level fields. So we can do that pretty quickly. As you see, as we scroll through, it's instantaneously getting those fields. It reads these fields asynchronously. So it reads 30 fields asynchronously. We have to check in our code to make sure that all these fields are returned, and then we'll do the diagnostics. So the application can check that you've changed your tasks. And as soon, so here, when I was doing my project plan, I broke out this task, and I forgot to remove the assigned resource and the link to the summary and the link. So I'll do that now. And then I'll remove that link. And when I go back to that task, you'll see that now it's compliant. So we're able to quickly update the task and get the compliance information. So as we go through this, we can see that, for example, here we have a constraint on our task. But that constraint's valid. It's an external dependency. So we can choose to just ignore that. And then that message will never come up again. And from a technical point of view, the way we do that is we store that check and the GUID for the task within local storage. So then whenever the person comes back, we know that they've chosen to ignore that task. But if my manager wants to see my plan and decides that he wants to make sure that, see what I've ignored, he can select to restore those ignored tasks, and that would just delete all your ignored checks for that project. So then that's also, so it just removes all those from local storage. And as you go through, you get different checks. So here I was just particularly lazy and forgot to do a detailed description of my task. And so I can do that. So, not going to go through the whole project plan, but you get the idea that you can quickly get information about a number of task fields, do something with that information, and display it to the user. The other point I wanted to make is that this is a web application. So as such, I can take advantages of libraries like jQuery to do things like use that show and hide functionality on my page to bring up guidance and drop that guidance. And I can customize the user experience. So this application has compliancy checks, but certainly they may not be the same level or same compliancy checks you do with your organization. So we can use local storage to allow the user to change either the level of that message or ignore it altogether. Okay? And then they can do. So that's just a quick example of how we can actually use a Office application to just get data from our project plan and do something with that data within project plan. But we can make it much more complicated and surface information outside our project plan. And we do that when we do the Sansai project dashboard. So what we're doing here is we're taking this project plan that's been published to, in this case, Project Online. And we're going to get going out and getting information from that project online. So we're getting the project overview information, which we actually get from the plan here. But we're also getting task information, and then we're getting the documents on this project plan. We're getting the issues, the risks, and deliverables. So this is all coming from the Project Online site. So one of the things that I haven't shown here because of time is that we access within the App for Office, we're accessing our Project Online site using OAuth. So when you first come to our application, it would say, trust this application. You would click on the trust this application. It would fire off to the trust page for Microsoft Project Online. You would enter credentials, do the trust, and when you come back to the application, you would select the link that says, I've trusted this application, and then it would start up. There's an excellent blog that Eli wrote on how to do this, how to use OAuth from a Microsoft project with app from App for Office. So I just wanted to show some of the features and what you can take advantage of. Eli mentioned that this can be an HTML page, but in this case, this is an ASP.NET app website. So we're able to take advantage of that. In the task analyzer, we actually have some server-side code. And we have the server-side code only because we're doing licensing check, because this isn't a store. So the licensing checks is done on the server side. So other than that, it's all client-side code for the task analyzer. But in this case, it's an ASP.NET application. And we use, there's a client-side object model for project server and SharePoint that we use in order to access this data. So we can do things like a curtain, bring up information. So top information your project manager would want to know about the project, the finish date, cost, percentage work complete. And you can do things like drill down and get additional information on your project plan. And if you have a variance, it will show up in red, highlight that. So just a little. But we can also take advantage of some of the features in HTML5, such as the chart there. The chart is using a canvas, the HTML5 canvas. And you can do things like you can click on that canvas, have an interactive pie chart that's going to filter the results. Okay? So we can use HTML5, we can use local storage, we can use an ASP.NET application to get some technology and apply that there. So when you go to the documents, this is going to list your document library. So this is going to actually get the document library that we have out on our Project Online site. And these are URLs that you can click, and they'll go to your Project Online site. And I don't think I've just quickly log on here. Yeah. Yes. So it will go in. It goes directly to the document. And the same when you're doing your issues and your risks. So two scenarios of apps I wanted to show there. The first scenario was an app that works totally within Microsoft Project Professional and gives you value without having to interface with anything else. The second example is an application that gets data from outside your project plan. So in this case, we're getting project data from the project online site and SharePoint. That's it for my demo. Is there any questions? Yes. We started 18 months ago, but the first one's fairly simple. The first one's just reading data from your project plan. And as Eli showed, you can throw that together pretty quick. Part of the difficulty is actually the business logic behind the compliances checks and those kind of things. But the actual code for reading the data, writing out settings to the local storage is not that much of an effort. It's more of the business process. Certainly more effort doing something like the project dashboard where you're going to be connecting to SharePoint and project online and project surface 2000. And you got to understand the OAuth flow when you're doing that. It's probably one of the more complicated parts of that solution.
Okay, once it's at the store, do you have a lot of time to
Yeah, it's actually really easy to put out updates into the Office Store. It's a good experience. You got to remember that this application is actually going to be hosted on a website. So we host it on an Azure website. So updating your application is as simple as updating your website. Okay. So, you know, almost instantaneous updates. There's sometimes you have to submit the update to the store if you're putting in new pages or new logic. But if you just what you give the Office Store is you tell it, this is where my application is running, right, as part of the manifest file. So it will go check that location, run your application. So if you update that application, you get updates pretty much immediately. Okay. Any other questions?
So, like the one where you have the assignment and summary task, you really can't do a fix button because...
No, we can't do a fix button.
But,
awesome. Yes, yes.
No,
no, we'd also like that. That's a limitation right now as well. Okay. Yeah. No. No, and that's a limitation right now from the JavaScript object model. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'll just wrap up quickly here. Again, what we went over, kind of high-level overview of what apps for projects and apps for Office are. Saw demos in Notepad and Visual Studio. Hopefully you got a general sense of what the Office Store is like and heard some kind of feedback about how it's been to deal with. Saw these two great apps from Dan. I wanted to call out the upcoming developer sessions. I think we have about three more that at least I'm aware of throughout the conference. Today at 3:15, Dean and Tad, both from Microsoft, will be kind of showing the business side of things, drilling more into what it's like to use the store. Sort of the metrics you get and how you get to use that data to help drive your own decisions. Bill and Chris both will be giving a very in-depth kind of set of demos and talking about Project Online apps, which is essentially the server component, talking about CSOM APIs. So that should be really interesting tomorrow morning. And then Martin, tomorrow at noon, kind of to close us off, will be giving extending both Project Online and on-premise with JavaScript talk. So if you're interested in, especially with server components or learning more about the store, I recommend getting to these. With that, I think we have a bunch of time for questions if anyone has anything else. Albeit, ask the experts right after this if you want to talk more offline. I'm happy to talk there also. Cool. The call to action, obviously, is go forth and develop. I'm happy to work with you to get your stuff through the store. Happy to talk through any API questions or app issues you have. Any questions, just let me know. My email address is esheldon@microsoft. I didn't bring too many business cards, unfortunately, but I can jot that down for you. Please fill out your evaluations because you win prizes and I get praise. Thank you. Thanks to Dan, especially for demoing his stuff.